Podcast 6, What Does Anzac Day Mean for Christians? The gospel reading for this podcast is John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. Today I'll be sharing some thoughts about a biblical perspective of Gallipoli as we celebrate Anzac Day this weekend. But it's a tough question. What does God think about Gallipoli, or war in general? Should Christians be active participants in war? Or should a Christian response to war to be to identify ourselves as pacifists or conscientious objectors? Is there such a thing as a just war? And this is not just an academic exercise. Many of us have relatives who were injured or died in conflicts in the last 100 years since Gallipoli. And Gallipoli affected all of New Zealand, including Hamilton. 207 men from Hamilton died in the Gallipoli conflict. The Māori tribe my family belong to, Rongo Whakaata, and its sub-tribe Ngāti Kaipoho, are well known among Māoris as a warrior tribe. The whare kai, or dining house, at our home marae is called Māori Battalion, and includes an honour roll memorial of members of the tribe who were in the Māori Battalion and fought and died in World War II. On the Pākehā side of my family, my uncle Noel went to Italy and fought with the New Zealand forces there in World War II. He was foraging for tomatoes in a garden when he unfortunately stood on a mine that had been laid there as a booby trap by the Germans. This mine blew off one foot and the lower part of one leg and severely injured his other leg. But Uncle Noel survived and was sent back to New Zealand as a war casualty and spent the rest of his life sheep farming in the hill country near Gisborne. He managed pretty well with his peg leg, but you had to be careful around him because he had a wicked sense of humour. So if you weren't careful, he'd come up and casually stand beside you and then step on your foot with his peg leg, which hurt quite a lot. And then he'd step off your foot and apologise profusely, but with a wicked glint in his eye. So wars and the consequences of wars happen in this world with monotonous regularity. I guess it's part of our inheritance as a fallen creation. Some Christians have come to think that in some cases, war is a necessary evil, which must be entered into in order that a greater evil may not be triumphant. The Christian church has pondered this question for many centuries, and a number of different responses have emerged. One view is the doctrine around the concept of a just war. This doctrine was first outlined by St. Augustine in the late 4th century, and then also amplified and clarified by St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century. And this guidelines for just war is part of Catholic Church doctrine today. St. Augustine outlined 4 criteria for a just war and required that all 4 are necessary for a conflict to be considered a just war. I'll give you a short version of these, which forms part of the 1992 Catechism of the Catholic Church. Firstly, the damage inflicted by the aggressor on the nation or community of nations must be lasting, grave, and certain. Secondly, all other means of putting an end to the conflict must have been shown to be impractical or ineffective. Thirdly, there must be serious prospects of success. And fourthly, the use of arms must not produce evils and disorders graver than the evil to be eliminated. So if we consider these 4 criteria in relation to Gallipoli, which is, I guess, part of World War I, we can see straight away that in terms of this set of criteria, Gallipoli and the broader conflict of World War I fail one or more of these criteria, and so could not be considered to be a just war in St. Augustine's terms. Another Christian response to war has been pacifism or conscientious objection. A pacifist is someone who believes that under no circumstances is war justified. As the Sermon on the Mount says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Early church fathers such as Origen in the 2nd century and Tertullian in the 3rd century AD at least partly supported this view. Tertullian in his early 3rd century document makes the statement, "For even if soldiers came to John and received advice on how to act, and even if a Roman centurion became a believer, the Lord, in subsequently disarming Peter, disarmed every soldier." Tertullian is referring to the incident where Peter attempted to defend Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus halted him, forbidding him to take up the sword against the attackers. Jesus tells Peter in that incident that he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Tertullian and many other Christian fathers saw this as a model for all Christians, that no one is given the right to pick up the sword. Particular communities of faith have strongly supported this approach, particularly the Anabaptist Protestant groups, known today as Quakers and Mennonites. And the New Zealand Anglican Church today also has an active pacifist group, the New Zealand branch of the Anglican Pacifist Fellowship. So there are two choices that are the major choices in relation to Christian participation in war that different Christian communities of faith support: the just war option and the pacifist conscientious objector option. But neither of these are the only options for Christians being involved in war. For example, in World War I and World War II, some pacifists refused to serve in any capacity in the armed forces and went to prison for their beliefs. Others were willing to serve in non-combatant roles, such as medical orderlies or ambulance drivers. An example of this latter option was recently in our cinemas in the movie Hacksaw Ridge, which is about a Seventh-day Adventist who served as an unarmed medic in the American forces in the Pacific conflict in World War II. Wartime often gives opportunity for acts of self-sacrificing courage. John 15 verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." This verse is sometimes quoted to give the Gallipoli conflict, or any conflict, and the people who died in it, a biblical connection. The link to the Bible is the view that soldiers who lay down their lives in war to save their comrades in arms are doing something which is not only heroic, which it undoubtedly is, but similar to Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And I think there is some truth in this. People who lay down their lives unselfishly for others are following Jesus' example, whether it's in the circumstances of war or peace. But reflecting on this, I've also come to the conclusion that in a time of war, from a biblical perspective, the most remarkable Christian response is not just to love your comrades, the people fighting alongside you, and to lay you down and sacrifice your life for them, but to love your enemies. Kemal Ataturk, who was the divisional commander of the Turkish forces at Gallipoli, gave a speech in 1934 about the Allied soldiers he defeated at Gallipoli. These words are now recorded on the memorial at Ari Burnu on the Gallipoli Peninsula. "Those heroes who shed their blood and lost their lives, you are now lying in the soil of a friendly country. Therefore, rest in peace. There is no difference between the Johnnies and Mehmets to us where they lie side by side here in this country of ours. You, the mothers, who sent their sons from faraway countries, wipe away your tears. Your sons are now lying in our bosom and are in peace, after having lost their lives on this land. They have become our sons as well. It's an extraordinary thing for a secular Muslim to say about the enemies who invaded his land. So you can see that trying to develop a biblical perspective on Anzac, on Gallipoli, is no simple thing. And I still have a lot of questions and not many answers. But when I look at the Gallipoli conflict that we commemorate this weekend, I pray two things. Firstly, I pray that God will spare us from another New Zealand generation having to go to war in a global conflict on the scale of the war that Gallipoli was part of. And the second thing I pray is that God will give me the grace to lay down my life for my friends in both small ways and great ways. Both friends who are part of my own community of faith and friends who may be known by another name. Perhaps the name for those other friends might be enemies.